So we have Nefe, who is going to preach for us, and I want to just take a moment to pray for her. So let's go ahead and get her set up. So try your little microphone now on. Now, church, does she have any reason to be nervous? Are you going to judge her? So I want to pray for the Spirit, because the work that she is doing is not about performing, but about preaching the gospel and offering her heart as a prayer to you. So she's nervous. She's going to be nervous. But I want to pray for her that she might proclaim the Lord in her heart and in her own way. So let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, bless your servant Nefe, that she might proclaim in truth and word and deed your great love. May her words bless us, and may her willingness to serve you bless us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Let's pray. Father, let words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto you, O Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning, everyone. I want to appreciate God for being alive today and to appreciate Father Todd for this chance to share the word of God with you. I'll begin by telling a common story that I'm sure most of us are familiar with, except this version is updated. A wealthy man had two sons. The youngest son out of the two brothers asked his father to give him his portion of his college savings that the father worked hard to put aside. The father hesitantly complied. Now many days passed after the younger son took off in his quest into a far country and wasted all his substance with riotous living. A great depression arose in that land, and he knew he was doomed. He had no money, roof over his head, food, and to be honest, the pests in his father's house lived in a better condition than the one he found himself in. It was obvious that his life was a mess. He thought about everything that took place. He reflected on the time he was living under his father's roof, how everything at that time was convenient, how he took everything he had for granted, all for the sake of having so-called freedom. He did something huge that most of us would have been too proud to do. He was going to do everything in his power to fix the situation he got himself in. He was going to apologize. He was ready to plead, and I mean get down on his two knees and beg his father to at least allow him to work as a hired servant. When the time came, instead of the angry father he expected, his father saw him, had compassion, ran, fell on his neck, and kissed him. This story is a retelling of the prodigal son. I'm not a mind reader, but I can guess what you're probably thinking right now. The first time I heard the story, I was a little shocked. I got into a disagreement with my family about the unexpected ending to the story. I expected the father to punish him or make him beg. The least the father could do is take away his phone for a year or something, anything. Instead, this father did something astonishing. He bought the fattest chicken he could find, inviting everyone he knew to celebrate this turn of events. However, the older brother, after learning of this, was mortified. The older brother worked hard every day for his father, and he was the good, obedient son. He felt like his younger brother ought to be disowned. The father pleaded with him, exclaiming, "For this son of mine was dead, and he is alive again, and was lost, and is found." The moral of this story is infinitely more about the father's love than the prodigal's wrongdoing. The younger son pursues self-discovery on his quest he embarked on, while the older brother is on a program of self-deliverance, earning the favor of his father and the admiration of the community. In this case, we are considered the prodigal son. It is easier to judge the younger son's misconduct and theorize that if we were to be in the same position, that we would not fall into the same sin. However, it is easier said than done. Like the prodigal son, we should swallow up our pride and ask for forgiveness from God. At some point in our life, we have questioned and fallen into sin. The Israelites, for example, during their time in the wilderness, continually doubted God. When they fell into any slight difficulties, their trust in God wavered. For one, they had no trust or faith in God and complained about everything. When they encountered their first crisis in the wilderness road, their faith shrank and they accused Moses of planning to starve them. We should build our trust on a solid foundation. Despite their sins, God had compassion on them and forgave them. Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool." If that prodigal son can receive forgiveness from his father, how much more our Heavenly Father, one who came to this sinful world in flesh and died on the cross for our sin. He's able to forgive and accept us back unto himself if we approach the throne of mercy. For our Father in heaven is merciful and forgiving. The Lord our God pardons sins and forgives our transgression. He does not stay angry forever, but instead shows mercy and compassion for us. Moreover, like God, we should learn to forgive. Our forgiveness should involve humbling before the affronting party and seeking their clemency. In addition, the person offended should not only grant forgiveness, but overlook minor details and forget the issue at hand, never to be brought up again. That is exactly what we should focus on after this Lenten period. Lent was a time of repentance and soberness from our sinful ways, and the period when we focus on our spiritual relationship with God. It was a time when Christians faced self-denial and spiritual discipline for the preparation of the coming of God. It was a time of family gathering. It was a time of commemorating Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Out of the agony, torment, and humiliation Jesus encountered on our behalf, life everlasting came. Easter Sunday marked Jesus' resurrection and commemorated the resurrection of Jesus Christ. All of this is past, but we should continue to follow and to know God, and we should not go back to our sinful ways. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Amen.